Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Now, over the next couple of Wednesday nights, we're going to talk about kingdom impact. We're going to discover in the scripture what the Bible means when it talks about the kingdom of God that is yet to come and the kingdom of God that is with us right now. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33 is a very, very familiar passage to all of us. And so we'll read that tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," and that'll be our subject, "the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You can be seated. I want to talk about kingdom impact. I believe God has called you and I to live a life as kingdom people. But what does it mean to be under kingdom authority? What does it mean to be kingdom people? And what does the Bible mean when it says that the kingdom of God is drawing nigh? What did Jesus mean when he preached about the kingdom of God? And what does this passage mean when it says we are to seek the kingdom of God? That's a very important verse for us, and it'll impact our community, our marriages, and our lives. If you'll study it out, I believe it'll help you. So tonight, we're going to talk about the King and his kingdom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing week that we had last week. Lord, for the souls that were saved, the lives that were changed. Lord, just the encouragement we receive from seeing our church there in the Dominican Republic thriving. Lord, winning souls to Christ, training preachers, supporting missionaries, doing all the things that a New Testament church should do. I thank you for them, Lord, and I pray that you bless them as you encourage us here tonight. Watch over us and lead us and guide us and direct us in all that we endeavor to do. And we'll thank you for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're talking about kingdoms. And unfortunately, probably the most famous kingdom that we all are familiar with and know, unfortunately, is a fairy tale kingdom, and that's the Magic Kingdom there in Disney. Probably more people know about the Magic Kingdom than they do the Kingdom of God. And there's a couple of things that's unfortunate about the Magic Kingdom. First of all, to go there, it costs a lot of money. And most people can't afford it, and if they do go, they've saved a half of a lifetime to try to get there. The second thing that's bad about that kingdom is when you get there, there's no king there. What you find Mickey Mouse, you find Goofy, and you find Donald Duck and a lot of characters, but you don't find a king. You find no king with no wealth. You find no king that can extend hope and help. It is a fairy tale kingdom, and there is no king that is living there. Well, I want you to know, friend, that the Bible talks about a kingdom that has a literal king. It's not a fairy tale king. It's not a Goofy or a Mickey Mouse or a Donald Duck. It's a real literal king, and you know his name. His name's Jesus. Can you say amen? And unlike that magic kingdom that a lot of people have visited, this is not a make-believe kingdom. It's a real literal kingdom. Unlike the magic kingdom, it has a real king that is there. And unlike the magic kingdom that's going to fade away one of these days, this kingdom will never fade away. And it's not a magic kingdom. I would say it's the master's kingdom. It's a kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns. And when you study the Bible, you find very, very quickly that the kingdom of God and what the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, it describes the nature of that kingdom vastly different from the world that you and I are living in. It's a kingdom where there is no sadness, there's just joy. It's a kingdom where there's no sickness, there's just health. It's a kingdom where there's no death at all, there's just life. It's a kingdom where there is no hatred, there is love. And hallelujah, it's a kingdom where there is no fear, there's just faith. That's the kingdom that God has called you and I to. It is one of faith, it's one of love, it's one of life, it's one of health, it's one of joy, and hallelujah, it's one of peace. Can you say amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom. And when I read the Bible, I find that the prophets of old described the kingdom that was yet to come, that is future. You see, there's a future kingdom that the Bible talks about that one day will be ushered in. The Lord Jesus Christ himself will sit on that throne. Today I was at the hospital and I was visiting Brother Halbert Williams and Brother Halbert's up at the hospital. He's got some blood clots in his lungs, and please be much in prayer for him. He had surgery yesterday, but being at the hospital and him being an old preacher, he's preaching to every nurse that's up there. It was great to be with him today, and he wanted me to read the Bible, so I walked in. I opened up Psalms 3 and read him Psalms chapter 3, and he started preaching again, you know, after I read the Bible and testifying to me and Robbie and Kyle and the folks that were in there. But he started talking about the kingdom. And he said, Brother David, I believe that God's kingdom is coming near. And he talked about the millennial kingdom. He talked about the throne that Jesus Christ himself would set upon. Can I tell you that the prophets, both in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament, they both preached and pointed to a future kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and going to reign. And it's interesting, when I read the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah described the conditions of that future kingdom, and it's rather bizarre when you read them, but this is what Isaiah chapter number 11 verses 5 to verse number 9 says about the characteristics of that future kingdom. Listen to what it says. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, that's a snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Can you imagine a little child playing in a snake's den? Well, if you and I seen that today, we grab that child up and snatch it away from danger. But there's coming a day in a future kingdom where the Bible says that a child can play there with the snake, that the lion, the ox, and the lamb, they shall feed together and lay down together. What the prophet is talking about is this. He's talking about a kingdom that is coming that has peace. Peace that passes all understanding, where the government's not in control, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself is in control, sitting there on the throne of David, ruling and reigning with a rod of iron and his church by his side. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, friend, but I'm looking forward to that kind of kingdom. Amen. We're not talking about a magic kingdom, a fairy tale kingdom. We're talking about the Master's kingdom. And tonight I want to talk about this kingdom impact. What can the kingdom of God do for us right here and now? Not only in the future kingdom that we speak about, but you'll see that there is a sense that there is a kingdom that is within us, around us, above us, beneath us, that is helping us along our spiritual journey. Now, if you and I, the Bible says we are to seek a kingdom of God, if we are commanded to seek this kingdom, then there must be a kingdom for you and I to seize hold of. There must be something tangible. God is giving you and I here a command that is associated with a responsibility. You are to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, that is the things of the world, will be added to you and I. What I want to focus on tonight is I want to look at this kingdom, and I want to look at our responsibilities. If I am to seek the kingdom of God, first of all, what does that mean, and what is the kingdom of God, and what is my responsibilities that is associated with that command? You can write these down. I believe they'll help you, and we'll go home. First of all, number one, we are to see the reality of kingdom impact. You are to see the reality of this kingdom and the kingdom impact. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if Jesus told us to seek the kingdom of God, there obviously must be a kingdom to seek, or he would have never told us in the first place. He would have never said, came up with some imaginary kingdom where there's imaginary characters. If Jesus said, I want you to seek something, then obviously there is something for us to seek that's tangible, that is real. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the command to seek the kingdom tells us that kingdom of God is real. And so if it's real, I want a part of it. If it's what God wants me to have, then I want to grab a hold of it. I want to discover exactly what it is. And so we're answering the question tonight, what is this kingdom of God? In fact, when I read my Bible, I find that at the very heart of the preaching of Jesus, that Jesus Christ's preaching centered around the subject of the kingdom of God. You'll find that the phrase kingdom of God is found 61 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Altogether in the Gospels, you'll find that over 85 times in the New Testament, you can find references to the kingdom of God. This is a very important subject. It's one for you and I not to brush aside. Over 85 times, God tells us some type of reference to the kingdom of God. Jesus stated in his preaching that the kingdom of God was one of the very reasons why he came. Now, I know he came to die for sinners, and I know he came to do and fulfill the law, but Jesus himself said that one of the reasons why he came to this planet was to introduce mankind to the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 43 tells us that. The Bible says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. Watch, for therefore am I sent. Jesus said one of the very reasons why I'm walking on this planet is I have been sent to preach the kingdom of God in Luke 4, verse 43. Not only was he sent to die for you and I, not only was he sent to fulfill the righteousness of God, but Jesus himself said, I've been ordained, I've been anointed by the Holy Ghost of God, and my job is to preach the kingdom of God to other cities. This is why I was sent. When you study the very first sermon of Jesus, the very first one he ever preached, his subject was surrounded around the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 records his first sermon. The Bible says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. His very first sermon, he introduces the subject of the kingdom of God. When Jesus was with his disciples, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And as Jesus began to teach them to pray, he taught them this phrase in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 10. He says, when you pray this, thy kingdom come. Jesus said, I have been sent to preach the kingdom and I must do it in all the cities. He also stated that in his first sermon, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He told them when you pray that you are to pray, thy kingdom come. At the Last Supper, one of the very last sermons and messages of Jesus is recorded here in Mark chapter 14, verse 25. And on the mind and the heart of God, before he ascends up into heaven, he states this, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Every time you read about the preaching and the teaching of Jesus, you find that he introduces the reality of this kingdom impact. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God in all these cities. When you pray, pray thy kingdom come. Before he went to heaven, he said, I'll eat and I'll drink with you again in that wonderful, glorious kingdom of God. Before he entered into heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse number 3 tells us this, that he was speaking of things pertaining to, listen, the kingdom of God. Acts 1, verse 3. So when you study the life of Jesus, you see the reality of this kingdom impact. It was a subject that he focused on. It was one that he repeated many, many times over and over and over. Now the question that you and I have to ask in our Bible study tonight is this. Is the kingdom of God something that's in the future? That is in the millennial reign, or is the kingdom of God something we experience right now? Is there something that I can take home with me tonight, Pastor, with my marriage when it comes to the kingdom of God? Is there something I can take home with me in my ministry when it comes to the kingdom of God? Is there something I can take home as a member and embrace it when it comes to the subject of the kingdom of God? Is it something future or is it something right here and now? Well, the only way that I can answer both of those questions is by saying yes to both of them. It is both a future sense that there's a wonderful, glorious kingdom that is coming. Jesus made that clear when he said, when you pray, pray this, thy kingdom what? Come. He is stating that there's a future kingdom that is yet to come. There is a sense where God, one of these days, will mount upon a milk-white stallion. He will ride from the third heaven into the second heaven, invading the first heaven. He will set up a throne on there, on the throne of David. He'll stand on the Mount of Olives. He will declare victory over the Antichrist and the devil. It's a wonderful, glorious kingdom, and it's yet future. Can you say amen? But there is a sense in the Bible where you find, on the other hand, that there is a kingdom of God that is here and now. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 20, follow with me, Luke 11, verse 20. Jesus said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Jesus is saying here, he said he had performed a miracle and they were astonished at the miracle. And Jesus' words said, if I can with the very finger of God cast out a devil, no doubt you are witnessing the kingdom of God among you. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to verse 21 is very interesting. The Bible says there, and when he demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, listen to Jesus' words, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, with those words right there, Jesus literally staggered the Pharisees and the religious crowd that day. They had absolutely no idea what he was talking about because they were lost. You see, those truths that are, Jesus presents here, they're spiritually discerned. We learn later on in the book of Corinthians. The natural man can't receive them, but the spiritual man can. Now, those of us that are saved tonight, we need to understand Jesus' words. He's saying there's this time here and now that the kingdom of God is within you. It's not only within you, it's around you, it's above you, it's beneath you, it's behind you. The kingdom of God is here. Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God tonight speaks of the authority and the sovereignty of God in the lives of men and women. I'm here to tell you, Obama's not in control. The government's not in control. The ACLU's not in control. There's one that's in control tonight, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. His kingdom come. Can you say amen? Amen. That's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen? The Bible says this kingdom of God now is within us. Now, to even understand that, you've got to understand the relationship, listen, between the kingdom, the church, and Israel, all right? The kingdom, the church, and Israel. The church is not the kingdom. The kingdom is not Israel. We are talking about three separate things. There will be those out there that would argue that the kingdom here is a spiritual Israel or maybe a church. I would argue emphatically with them. When I read the Word of God, I find out that there's a separation here. You see, when Jesus came preaching, he didn't come preaching the gospel of the church. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You see, the gospel of the kingdom speaks of God's sovereignty. The gospel of the church speaks of God's salvation. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was preaching with authority that God is sovereign in the lives of men and women. It didn't matter how many man-made laws that the Pharisees and the scribes had made up, that God was sovereign. You can't add to God's salvation. You can't take away from God's salvation. You can't make up your own rules and rituals and laws. There's one authority, one absolute authority. It is the kingdom of God and the sovereign God that you and I serve. Can you say amen? Jesus came preaching the kingdom. He didn't come preaching the gospel of the church. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But you're still wondering tonight, okay, I understand the kingdom's not the church. It's not Israel. It's a separate thing. But what is the kingdom of God? Before we move on to the second point, which is going to answer that, I want you to make sure you got it down. We are to see the reality of this kingdom impact. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom. A literal, tangible thing that brings you and I power and victory in our life. It is an emphatic command from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the present tense. It is something that we are to continue to do, not haphazardly. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. There is this reality of the kingdom impact. But not only do we see the reality of the kingdom impact, let me answer your question as to what the kingdom is. Second of all, we are to seek the rule of kingdom impact. Not only are we to see the reality of it, that this is not the magic kingdom with Mickey Mouse and Goofy and Donald Duck. This is the master's kingdom. And we are to see the rule of kingdom authority. Now notice what the Bible says in our verse again. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That word kingdom there is a word that literally refers to the word rule. Or we could say the word reign. It is talking about the rule of a king. It's talking about the reign of a king. We can render the verse by saying, but seek ye first the reign of God. But seek ye first the rule of God. It is incumbent upon every believer here tonight, if you're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, your responsibility is to find out how God wants you to live. You are to seek after Him. It's like a craving. It's like you're thirsty. It's like you're hungry. You've got to know what it means to be a child of God. Like a deer pants for water, your heart pants for God. Like you're passionate about doing things. You're passionate about knowing who God is and His power. Can you say amen? And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So understand the word kingdom there means rule or it means reign. You see, the kingdom of God is not actual territory. A lot of people think, oh, they must be talking about acreage here. Must be a vast land like King Arthur's, you know, Camelot that's out there. What a beautiful place it must be. No, he's not talking about territory. He's not talking about acreage. He is talking about a sphere, listen, a sphere of influence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. A sphere of influence. That how the Holy Spirit influences you and influences me. You see, when I seek the kingdom of God, I'm seeking God's will. I'm asking God to direct me. I'm asking God to bless me. I'm asking the king to influence the kingdom. Can I tell you, friend, a king influences or rules every part of kingdom life. When the subjects are obedient to the king turns around and blesses the subjects. When they bless the heart of the king turns around and blesses the heart of the people. Can I tell you, our king tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of pastors and church leaders. They think they're large and in charge. Honey, I got news for all of them. This ain't my church. This is God's church. Amen. This ain't your church. This is God's church. He's the king. He's the one sitting on the throne. You say, well, where's the throne? I'm talking about the throne of your heart. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you. And you need to picture your heart tonight as a throne. You can allow Satan to sit on the throne of your heart, or you can allow God to sit on the throne of your heart. And when God is at completely at home on the throne of your heart, He influences and rules every part of kingdom life. And when His subjects are obedient, then the heart of the king is blessed, and He blesses the people. How many wants the blessings of God? Say amen. Then we are to seek the rule or the reign of God in our life. Now notice this. When Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, in essence, here's what He's saying. He's saying that your number one priority in life ought to be this. To seek the kingdom of God. That's what He's saying. It is your responsibility. God will do His part, but the Bible's saying that our part is to seek the kingdom of God. Now that word seek there literally means to actively pursue or to go after. It's in the present tense, as I said. So that means every single moment of my life, I need to be asking myself, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do here? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're contemplating getting married. You're in a relationship. You need to make sure that you ask God, God, is that who you want me to marry? You say, Brother Dave, when I had to pray about my spouse, absolutely can all the married people say amen. Huh? Some people wind up getting married and they found out that wasn't God wanted them to do and they got themselves in a big mess later. Can somebody say, oh me, right there, huh? You pray about your marriage. You pray about what job God wants you to take. You pray about where God wants you to move. You pray about your finances. You pray about your ministry. You pray about every single detail of your life. That's what Jesus means by in the present tense, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Actively pursue. Go after it, man. Don't be slack on it. You pray and say, God, is this what you want me to do? Now, if you're going to do that, there's three things that you need to be seeking when you're seeking the kingdom of God. Number one, you seek the glory of the king. You seek the glory of the king. You know, all week long, I was witnessing the story of God's glory in the life of our people. All week long. Seeing people do things and testify and kind of come out of their shell and just open up and just, it was amazing. I watched people cry for the very first time. Just a few weeks ago, I was preaching about tears, that we've dried up our tears. Let me tell you, I took them folks to Dominican Republic, and I seen a lot of tears. Our teenagers were crying. Some of them, for the very first time, seen another culture that absolutely amazed them. Some of them were crying when they testified, knowing that you as parents and grandparents have given them all sorts of things, and they realize how spoiled rotten they were, and how God has been good to America, and they said it over and over again. I'm glad I got Christian parents. I'm glad I got a mom and dad that loves me. I'm glad I got grandparents that love me. They have so little. They're so happy. We've got so much, and we complain and all this and that. I watch God transform their lives. Can you say amen? Can I tell you, when you're seeking the King, He'll transform your life. When you're scooted up next to the King and you're all about the glory of the King, God will change you. You see, when you seek the kingdom of God, you're seeking the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. The Bible says, Wherefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Can I tell you, friend, there is no such thing as a spiritual job and a secular job. If you're a plumber or a preacher, you give God glory on the job. If you're an electrician or an evangelist, you give God glory on the job. It doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter. The Bible says, whatsoever you do. So if you're cooking breakfast in the morning, you give glory to God. You're going to the pastor's breakfast in the morning, you give glory to God. When you wake up and you're as ugly as I am, you still give glory to God. Amen. When you lose your hair, you give glory to God. Huh? When you got bad breath, you give glory to God. When your stomach's upset, you give glory to God. When things are falling apart, you still give glory to God. Can you say amen? It says whatever you do. You see, those who are seeking the kingdom of God know this. They're seeking the glory of God. Not only the glory of God, but the guidance of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, talks about the conversion of Saul, who you and I know as Paul. When Paul got saved, there's a verse in chapter 9 of the book of Acts that all of us should claim. The Bible says, and he trembling and astonished. I mean, he's standing before the risen Christ. He trembling and astonished said this, listen, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Can I tell you, I believe that ought to be the heartbeat of every child of God here tonight. That when you're seeking the kingdom of God, you're seeking the guidance of God. When Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he humbled himself and he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You know what he did? He got up and he went. You see, when you are seeking the kingdom of God, you're seeking the glory of the King. You're seeking the guidance of the King. And then also you're seeking the government of the King. Not only the glory and the guidance, but the government of the King. That is, you are loyal to His rule. When you are obeying the King and you're loyal to the King, you know what you find? You find serenity, you find security, you find that the King is sovereign, and you find salvation through the obedience of the King. You find the government of the King. Whatever it is He tells me to do, I'm going to do it. If He tells me to obey, I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust and obey. Can I tell you what's happened in our modern churches today? We have stopped obeying God. We fooled around so long that we look at the Bible as a fairy tale book, and we look at the Bible as something we have memorized when we absolutely know nothing about it. We need to get our nose back in a book and our heart back in a book and ask God to guide us once again. Let Him govern His church. Can you say amen? Boy, we was down there in the Dominican. I had all them teenagers down there. Our teenagers, a couple other church teenagers. And I just looked at them all. I said, let me tell you what your generation's all about. Your generation's all about fun and games. And your generation's all about coming to church and having a big party. And your generation's all about disrespecting God and using names outside the Bible like JC's in the house. How disrespectful when we have in the Word of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright of Morning Star, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the Alpha and Omega, to bring him down to our level and call him JC, shame on you. Can you say amen? Boy, we had two teenagers saved that night. Can you say amen? Somebody says, well, we shouldn't preach too hard to teenagers. Why not? Huh? Why not? They got in there. They were crying. They were weeping. Two boys got saved. Come on, the Holy Ghost conviction. Don't dumb down the message. You preach a gun barrel straight. It's still the same old book that Jesus preached and taught us about. Let's preach it till he comes back. Can you say amen? Woo, that's camp meeting style right there. Amen. We seek the glory of the King. We seek the guidance of the King. And we seek the government of the King. You see, this is kingdom impact. The Bible teaches us We're to see the reality of this kingdom. We're to seek the rule of this kingdom impact. But then there's one more thing and we'll go. We're to show the righteousness of this kingdom impact. Not only are we to see it, that it's tangible, that it's there. It's not something like the magic kingdom that's fairy tale. There's a real, literal king that's in this kingdom. We're to seek his rule. We're to see the reality, but we're to show the righteousness of this kingdom impact. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus goes on to say that we are not only to seek the kingdom of God, which the kingdom of God now is the rule of God or the reign of God, but he also says we are to seek his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, that you and I are to seek God in such a way that not only do we want God to control us, that is for God to rule over us, but we are seeking God's character within us. You see, I want God to control me not on the inside and the outside, but I want God's character to be formed on the inside of me. You see, you and I, we're just old sinners saved by grace. We're still rough around the edges. Can everyone say amen? We get mad, we get angry, we say things we shouldn't, we think thoughts that we should not. Our heart is corrupt, our lives are wicked, we are depraved individuals only saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are not careful, we'll succumb to the flesh and not be obedient to the Spirit. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So here's what he says. Seek the rule of God in your life. The reign of God and his righteousness. That is, I'm not only to ask God to control me, I'm to ask God to help his character to be formed on the inside of me. You see, the kingdom of God's not just an inward experience. It's also an outward expression. It's something that we show the lost and dying world. You know, it was great to go this past week when that little old lady in that village had got saved out of that voodoo. She was one of the older ladies that was there. And she wanted to come up and say thank you. You know, it was awesome. My heart just sat there and melted, knowing that God has used our church to bless this little old lady. And you know what she was seeing? She was seeing an outward expression of the love of God because of the gifts and the hugs and us just being there. Can I remind you, we're the body of Christ. You're the hands, you're the feet of Jesus, you're the mouth of Jesus. Sometimes people, all they need is, they don't need a handshake, sometimes they need a hug. They need to feel the arms of God. And sometimes you become the arms of God, you become the mouth of God, you're the feet of God, the hand of God. It's the expression of God's character on the inside of us when we weep, when we cry, when we're happy. You see, seeking the kingdom of God is not only just an inward experience. It's an outward expression. I'm to show the lost and dying world that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I've been washed in the blood. I'm going to heaven when I die. There's something different about me, and I show it on the outside. There's an inwardness within me that bubbles over on the outside, and I just can't help it. I have to smile, clap my hands, sing, preach, and shout, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus says, when you do, all these other things, that is finances, the problems and the cares of life, all these other things shall be added to you. You know what? We will never make a difference in this world until the world sees a difference in us. We never will. We can try this, we can try that gimmick, we can try this plan and program, but until the world sees a difference in me, and a difference in you, we will never make a difference in the world. You know, I was reading about an old London newspaper, and every single week there was type errors in their newspaper. And it was driving the editors and the writers crazy because the typists were continually making errors. And they had staff meetings, and they tried to correct the problem, and everything they did, the typists, they just had the I don't care, and they just went ahead and pushed the paper through anyhow. Well, finally, the administration came up with a plan. They said, we're going to tell everybody that the king is going to get the copy of the paper. He will be the first person in the kingdom that will get a copy every single day, and he's going to read through it first. So they went out there and said, we're going to give the king a copy. He's going to read through it first. So let's do our very best. Well, sure enough, because they knew that the king was going to have the paper and the king was going to read and watch the paper, the type errors went away. Everybody started doing their very best because they knew, listen, they were coming under the scrutiny of the king. Can I tell you what's going to change Parkway Baptist Temple and what's going to change the apathy among us when we get apathetic and we get lazy and we don't feel like doing what we need to do in our responsibilities? When we realize that our life and our marriage and our ministry in this church, one of these days is coming underneath the scrutiny of the king, that his eyes are upon us. He reads every chapter, every verse, every paragraph of our life. Our life is like an open book before him. When we realize we're coming up underneath the scrutinizing eyes of God, I believe it'll change us. I believe it'll change me. It'll change you. It'll change our church. It'll change that choir. It'll change your Sunday school class. It'll change our Wednesday night service when we know that God's eyes are upon us. Can you say amen? I got news for you, friend. They are. They are. They were watching me today. God's eyes was watching me hobble along from here to there. God's seen you driving up and down the road. God's seen your road rage. God's seen you pass out the track. God's seen you, those of you that just scarfed down your food at dinner time. And God's seen those of you that bowed your head and gave the king glory, thanking him for the food. God sees the offering that you give. God sees the offering that you don't give. God sees your faithfulness. God sees your unfaithfulness. God sees all, knows all, every single moment of our lives. And if we as a people would apply that, knowing that God is watching, just think how it would transform us, and think about the kingdom impact in this county and in our church. You know, I thank God for what we're doing here. You know, I'm just amazed at what the Lord has done over the past several years here at this church, and seeing the lives that's been changed. We've taken probably well over 100-something people on missions trips since I've been the pastor here, and I give God honor and glory for it. You know why? Because it does two things. Number one, it changes you, and number two, it makes you a storyteller. It gives you a story to tell. You tell about the glory of his story, not about who you are and what you've done, but you talk about what you've seen and what you've done. Here's what I told our folks down there, all 43 of them, and I'll tell you here tonight. What we do to Dominican, we ought to do right in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. What we do in Grenada, we ought to be doing in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. What we do in Chicago, we ought to be doing right here in Catoosa County. If we can love children and win people to Christ there, then by golly, we can come here by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and do it right here in our own Jerusalem. Can you say amen? Asking God for guidance, asking God for his glory to be revealed, being ruled by the government of the king. Oh, the impact of the kingdom. Let's do our part. God will do his. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for your glorious kingdom, Lord, that is yet future, and the one that lives within us, the rule and the reign of God on the throne of our heart. Father, help us, Lord, to live up to the responsibility of the mandate that's laid down here in Matthew 6, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, the cares of the world, shall be added to us. Help us, God, to bless your holy name, Lord, here at this church. Help us, Lord, to continue to be missional in all that we endeavor to do. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person that was a part of our GROW team this week. Those that are here tonight in the auditorium. For Brother Justin, Brother Kyle, Lord, for Brother Chori, preaching to our young people outside in Boatner Hall, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the missional opportunities, Lord, that our people have engaged in this week. We pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God would fill us and anoint us. Open up the windows of heaven, God, and pour down blessings upon our family. God, I pray that you would guide us. God, that you would guard us and help us, protect us, give us wisdom for the journey. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you meet me here at the altar? And let's just come for a few moments tonight. Let's seek first the kingdom of God as we come and pray.